got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
We are getting a whole bunch of people to call up, Jess, because we want to see if they've broken the golden rule, according to tattoo artists, having either their name tattooed on somebody else's body or someone else having a tattoo of their name on it.
Yes, because apparently this is bad luck in relationships, yep. Tim, so to get someone else's name tattooed on you.
Even if you've got kids, you've been together 10 years, they always kind of go, are you sure? Are you sure you want to do that? We have had a few people get in touch with the show. Demi's in Grovedale. Demi, whose name do you have tattooed on you?
I have my partner's name on my bum.
See, bum
that's
is nice.
A great spot because it's just for you, Demi, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So is when you decided, did you tell your partner or was it a surprise?
No, I got it the weekend before our wedding. mostly for me, just in case I got cold feet. I'm like, well, it's there now. I have to go through with it.
So you're standing there looking in the mirror going, come on, you can do this.
You can
I can't. And you turn around, you look at your bum, no, I have to do this. Otherwise, this is going to be some tattoo laser removal.
And how long have you been married for now, Demi?
2 years this year, but we've been together for 10.
Not bad.
Fantastic. We like it. We're breaking the golden curse, according to tattoo artist. Adam in Manor Lakes has given us a call. Adam, you've got your partner's name tattooed on you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, and how long into the relationship did you get your partner's name tattooed on you?
It was about 2 to 3 years.
Okay, all right. That's a significant amount of time. Like, you know by then that you want to be with this person.
Tomorrow's our 6th anniversary.
Hey, congrats.
Happy anniversary, Adam. Now, so 2 years, you're probably pretty confident on the spelling of it. Where on your body is your partner's name tattooed on you?
On my left shoulder.
Okay.
Shoulder. So front facing or back or rear facing?
Front facing.
Like on the back of the shoulder. Yeah. Jess is looking at me like I'm an idiot. I'm Jess, as someone who has two tattoos.
Yeah,
and you
sorry.
Only have one.
No,
I know
you're
way
right.
More
you
are, about.
I will defer to the tattoo expert.
Actually, I prefer body art. and Kerry, finally in Corio, you've got someone's name tattooed on you. Is that right?
It is. Yes.
Who's this person?
My husband.
Nice.
All right. Husband. Husband of how many years?
We've been married for 15 years.
Okay.
15 years is not bad,
that's,
Tim.
That's pretty good.
That's not a curse. And how quickly into the relationship did you get the tattoo, Kerry?
3 months.
Hot dog. Yeah, I guess when you know, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you mention to the tattoo artist, oh, yeah, this is my partner of, 90 days. I think I'd like to get their name tattooed on my body.
No, they didn't even ask.
Oh, yeah. My God. So did your husband get your name too?
Yes, but he got mine after about 12 months.
Okay. Well, I guess you love him more. You win.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Jess, after putting this off for 6 years, I have finally pretty much completed my application to go on Australian Survivor.
Yeah, and look, for those who haven't known Tim as long as I have, because we're coming up to 7 years of working together,
yep,
Tim.
Of colleagueship, I like to call it.
Every single year, it gets this time where they put the casting call out for Australian Survivor and Tim gets 2 pages in and goes, I guess I'll go next year.
Yeah, it's just that there's obviously in the application process, there's a lot of questions about who you are and the type of person you want to be. Maybe I just haven't been confident within myself to answer those. Now I feel like I'm in that area. And if you've ever applied for a reality TV show, there's like a section where it's like, all right, what type of person do you think you're going to be? And I thought we could kind of break it down live on the radio and you could kind of give me some direct feedback to why you think I could be incredible on next season of Australian Survivor. Because the finale for this season's on next week.
As someone who works closely with you on a team,
daily,
I feel like I am the perfect person to answer these questions.
Okay, so Survivor is a game of challenges and survival. Sometimes physical, sometimes mental, sometimes there's puzzles. How do you think I'd go?
I think Tim has a tendency to go from like 0 to 100.
Yep.
Like you'll be perfectly fine. You'll be like, yes.
Cool, calm, and collected.
Nailing it. Yes, yes, yes. And then one thing will go wrong.
Yeah.
And you will immediately explode.
I didn't used to agree with that. Yeah, I think I have a shorter fuse when things aren't going my way. Yeah. And I know that if I could control it, everything would be okay.
Also, you have a very short fuse for incompetence. So if anyone on your team was below average at anything, you wouldn't be able to handle that.
And the problem is, I'm not an athlete or smart or good at puzzles, but my brain goes, but you are.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, I know I just said I'm not an athlete, but I am a physical presence.
Sure.
Of some kind.
Okay, yeah.
Some would say a 30-year-old dad bod already in the making. Thank you very much. Also, it's about, like, forming relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is, like, what sets you off, like, amongst people. You know, I really dislike complaining.
Yes.
And people that go, oh, you know, here's my problem. My boyfriend, he's always talking down to me. What do I do? And then you offer advice and they just not listen.
Yeah.
And then someone else, you come back and, oh, he still won't listen to me. He's always talking down to me.
My favourite thing is to ask Tim for his opinion, and then when you give me your opinion,
I believe I'm incredible at advice.
I'll immediately dismiss it and say, nah, no thanks, not for me.
Why would I solve the problem when I can keep complaining about it? Now, I also think that if I were to go on Survivor, I think I could be very, like, a different type of character that we've seen historically, because there's some big names in the Australian Survivor that
have
gone out there. But I feel like there's
a window. What do you think you're going to bring to the island, Tim? What's going to set you apart?
I would say awareness of inability and accuracy of inability. So I would be very aware at how bad I would be at something very quickly.
See, I think you're not going to be a middle ground player. You're either going to go home or, like, first
or win the
whole thing. There's no in between for you.
I'm happy to have experienced either ends of this.
Yeah.
So thank you. This is helping my application process, because I have to upload a photo. So obviously the problem is I haven't considered my appearance.
Yeah.
So I'm not happy with it, but, you know, Survivor's not about
I think upload
beauty.
A photo of you with a mustache, because
right.
Mustache Tim is fun Tim.
A fun Tim, all right. Well, yeah, that's the kind of vibes I want to put out there for Australian Survivor. So thank you very much. If you're applying as well, stop it. I'd like to go on the show, and the less people applying makes it easier for me.
When do we hear about the applications?
Well, I haven't finished it yet.
It's
so
not going to happen this
it will,
year.
It will. Mark my words, maybe.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
And honestly, this week has been more scandalous than others, Jess.
It certainly has.
Because I brought to you on Monday that I saw something that confused and then immediately angered me.
Yeah.
Because I'm very cool, calm and collected mostly. But this really cheesed me off.
Where did you see this thing?
This was at a petrol station near my parents' house.
Yeah.
So this is on the other side of the bay in a town called Piersdale. It was an advertisement for an ice cream bar, Magnum. We all know the brand. Magnum's one of the biggest players in the game.
Yeah.
They were offering a Magnum sandwich, mm-hmm. which looks identical to the Maxibon.
It certainly does.
Now,
Different companies.
And the reason that I in particular got so upset is I feel like you can't encroach in Maxibon's turf, like with their design. Like it's half an ice cream, half like an ice cream sandwich kind of deal. That's their thing. Magnum, you're good with sticks and stuff.
Yeah.
Stick to sticks and stuff. And I believe their defense is, well, instead of 50-50 split, theirs is probably a 60-40 split. So it's 60% ice cream, 40% ice cream cookie sandwich.
Right.
So
I did a bit of research on Tuesday before the show. Put my journalism degree to good use, Tim.
Your mum must be proud.
Yeah, she's happy I'm finally using it. So Peters, obviously the owners of Maxibon, have been in the market Maxibon's been on Australian shelves since 1993.
Which is shocking.
So they very much got that corner of the market, like, cornered.
Happy 30th birthday.
Streets, however, launched the Magnum ice cream sandwich well, back in 2009, which was confusing.
It was a failed launch as well,
It was a failed launch. So they tried it for a while and then...
No traction.
So I started to look for where I could purchase the Magnum ice cream sandwich, and I couldn't find it on any websites.
Interesting.
So I went straight to the source and I sent an email to the customer service department of Streets.
You're going to read that out for us now?
Yes. So to Streets I said, "Dear Streets... The Magnum ice cream sandwich, is this product still available? Can I grab one? If so, where?
Okay.
I got an email late
printed
last
it out,
night, Tim.
So it must be real.
Yeah, I did.
Here we go.
7 p.m. last night. So, you know, they're working around the clock, the streets.
Well, I guess
team.
If you're stealing ideas, you shouldn't do it in business ideas.
This one's from their Unilever Consumer Engagement Centre.
Okay.
Dear Jessica, thank you for contacting us with your inquiry regarding the Magnum ice cream sandwich. I am so sad to inform you that the product has been deleted and will no longer be manufactured or offered for sale from major supermarkets and other retail distribution outlets in Australia and New Zealand. We apologise for this occurrence and agree that it is an unfortunate situation. However, products are deleted when insufficient customer sales and limited retail distribution occurs. Unfortunately, we don't have any replacement or similar product that we can recommend to you, but we'll be sure to pass on your feedback to our team for future consideration.
I was about to say, that's a very formal way of saying we've been caught red-handed trying to steal an idea, but it's not red-handed, Jess. It's sticky, it's melting, it's all in your joints. They have again failed.
Yeah.
The Magnum sandwich is a second time launched to fail.
Or
fail to launch.
Or are we sure that the petrol station near your parents didn't just not take down a sign for 10 years?
I did grow up in a very small town. A very, very small town.
Is it possible that potentially they put up a poster in 2009 and they're yet to take it down?
It did say, bring in 2010 with a Magnum sandwich, now that I think about it. No, I think that is the most professional way to say we tried and we have failed yet again to take on Maxibon.
They have
You'd be
no
stupid
other products the same. Is it because Peter's cornered that market? My next task, Tim, is that I'm going to message Peter's and see whether they ousted the Magnum.
If they led the push to be like, hey, get out of our bond.
I'll keep you posted.
I thought we were done, and now kick them while they're down. Kick them while they're down, Jess. This is what, you know, that journalism degree is the best money you ever invested. Thanks, Hex. You're the bomb.
Still paying it off.
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
We're asking on 52232955, where'd you find a snake? Story up in Queensland, and Jess, you said it perfectly just before. It's always Queensland.
It's always Queensland.
And this is the reason why people don't want to visit our country. And they go, this is what all of Australia is like. But unfortunately, it seems that a snake catcher was called because someone found an eastern brown snake in the sheets of their main bed's bedroom.
See, I didn't even consider that they would be, like, in a bed. Like, I always used to get scared driving along the road because when we lived in Queensland, Tim, you'd see them on the road all the time and I'd be scared that I would drive and they would somehow get up in my wheels and come up through my car.
Real things, real life. I had a you like to call it my Steve Irwin moment.
It was your Steve Irwin
moment. It was
the
dumbest thing I've ever done, let's be honest. I was in the living room with my wife and she got up on the couch and said, excuse me, Tim, there's a snake in the kitchen. And I turned around and I said, well, diddly me there is.
Diddly.
I've replaced some of the language because it was a little bit less calm at the time. And I went into protect mode. It was just a baby brown snake. And I knew that they can't control how much venom they release. So they were the super dangerous ones.
Oh, good.
So naturally, I got the longest pair of tongs I have in a cooking bowl and went full Steve Irwin on it. I was like, come here. And then I realized that it was probably dangerous. So I just threw the cooking bowl over the top, got a chopping board, took it outside, let it go. There you go.
You're amazing. I would have just cried.
And moved out.
Yep.
Yeah. Just leave the keys. There you go.
But again, see, that happened in Queensland.
Yeah.
It's always bloody Queensland.
Nick's given us a call from Port Arlington on 52232955. Nick, where did you find a snake?
Hey, guys. I was visiting some family in near Rockhampton in Queensland, of all places.
Of course.
Queensland. The Queensland.
Yeah, every time. And I was there for about 2 weeks. One day, a snake got in, I'd imagine, through the front door somewhere under the garage. It's in the house. So we wake up and there's a snake in the house. The next day, in the backyard, their dog's barking at something. We go out, there's a baby taipan, and the dog's just barking at it like a moron. So we end up, they get the dog away and they get the snake taken and all that kind of stuff. And within about 2 or 3 days, the neighbour has one coming down through the fan in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
This is all the two houses in a week. I'm never going north of the border ever again.
Well, Nick, it's definitely something where you go, all right, that's going to change the rating on the Uber. Not on the Uber, on the Airbnb situation.
Do you know what? And then Queenslanders, they just like, they don't even react to it. They're like, oh, yeah, another one.
Yeah, got a message from someone called Matt Jess. They said they were visiting, guess where? Queensland.
Queensland.
Stayed in an Airbnb. Didn't find a snake, but found a snake skin.
Oh, no.
That's worse.
It is worse.
Where's the snake?
Because I've had friends leave, friends being Tim, leave snake skins in my house thinking it would be a funny joke, and then I can't find the snake. Of course I can't, because it's just the skin.
At least in that situation, it was just the skin. But in that situation, there is definitely a snake.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Jess, because you're going to be away tomorrow, this is kind of the final chance to figure out how good we are when Benny Rogers from Workdays comes in here.
This is make or break, Tim. We've had a pretty good week this week. Let's see if we've been paying attention.
Let's go.
Tim and Jess. K-Rock. Have you been paying attention? But on the radio.
Let's find out. We've got Benny from Workdays in the studio, Ben Rogers. He brings us three stories every single day. He leaves out some key elements. We fill in the blanks.
Before we get to his first story, Ben, I did say at the start of this week that I thought we were very bad at guessing the correct news stories. So Jess has been keeping score all week. It's been a bad week for me because it's been a good week. I think we've got two out of three every single day.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is like the
This could be an all-time stinker. Yeah. We don't know.
Well, we'll start things off with the World Happiness Report, which has been released this week. What country is considered to be the happiest in the world?
Now, we did talk about this yesterday, Tim. Do you remember?
Is it Iceland? Iceland?
No.
Finland.
No.
Finland.
Finland.
Yes.
Give it to me.
Did you say Vidland?
Vidland. It's in between Finland and another country.
Venezuela. Yeah.
They've topped the list for the sixth consecutive year with Denmark, Iceland, Israel and the Netherlands rounding out the top five. Australia in 12th place, two behind our neighbours over in New Zealand.
Yep, so we're in the dirty dozen. Yeah. Or the happy dozen, I guess.
While regions of Victoria were being hit by crazy storms earlier today, there was something even crazier happening over in South Australia. What?
They had an earthquake.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah.
What a day.
It was like magnitude...
Magnitude 4.8 earthquake.
I was going to say 8.4.
That is a big one.
It hit the Flinders region around 9:50 this morning. Tremors felt across the state, including 250 k's away in the Adelaide CBD.
And it's weird. In Brisbane, it was raining toads, and then over in Perth, they had the locusts. So, you know, just totally normal things all happening.
And finally, an elusive animal has led Alabama police on a two-hour chase before it was successfully captured safely and returned to its owners. What animal was able to evade police for a whole 2 hours?
2 hours.
Now, was this from a local zoo or like someone's property?
It was someone's pet on their property.
Ooh, tiger.
Tiger?
Like Tiger King style, like a big cat enclosure, no? Okay.
No.
Was it a...
Here we go. This is Jess's panic and she'll say...
No alarm
is out. Call the police.
Probably something that you wouldn't expect to be able to evade police for 2 hours. A miniature pony.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Very embarrassing for those police officers because they tried to lure it with pizza crust and peppermints, apparently.
Yeah. And then they went straight to the road spikes. They were like, you know what? I'm sick of this.
Take it out of the hooves.
Yeah. Unfortunately, jeez, that is four. Unfortunately, Jess, you've proved your point that
we've
done well.
Yeah.
2 out of 3.
Well, this is like a blue moon. This never happens, right?
Can it continue into next week?
Oh, absolutely. I guess we'll have to. I'll keep tallies next week as well.
Okay.
All thanks, guys. You're the best.
Good buddy. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.